it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
And welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. Once again, I am joined by the ubiquitous Penny Rich, chairman of the County Commissioners. And Penny is the outgoing chairman of the County Commissioners, who has been absolutely essential. You are essential staff for the Weekend Water Cooler, our senior political correspondent, senior voting correspondent, senior elections correspondent, and celebrity chef.
So, oh boy. Yeah, we got them all. Yeah.
I'm thinking that at some point, one of these interviews turns into Beat Bobby Flay. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
I actually have. It puts me to sleep, though. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. You know, it puts me to sleep, too. And that's why I watch it like almost every night, right before I go to bed.
11 o'clock. Boom.
There's something about it. It's relaxing to me.
Yeah. I
don't know what this says about me, but. Yeah. Watching somebody run across a room to put the cracked pepper on the salad in the last 3 seconds is, this is what it's come down to.
So dramatic. I know.
Well,
it's so funny. So not cooking.
You don't want to be watching the last moments of the news right before you go to sleep.
Oh,
and
no.
All is lost.
No.
Good night, America.
Good night.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I need to know if the chicken is going to be cooked completely through, not if. If I'm going to wake up tomorrow in a state of complete meltdown.
I totally
agree. I think I sleep better because
Well, I think I'm having a hard time during the day watching the news also now.
Me
or
too.
Listening to it. I just can't, I mean, I know you want to talk about the hearings, but I have a really hard time listening to that. it's just such a challenge.
Spoiler alert. When I talk about the hearings, most of what I'm going to say is I can't watch it.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we
had started recording a few minutes ago and had a little technical problem, so we restarted. But I asked you then, I'll ask you again. As outgoing chair of the County Commissioners, will you assure the taxpayers we will have a peaceful transition of power?
And it's more fun the second time around, I'll tell you, because my response is going to be the same. I can't believe that we're actually discussing this.
Right.
It's just so astonishing to me. Is that a word, astonishing?
No, I think it's astonishing.
Astonishing. Wow. I couldn't get that
see?
Out.
See, your brain is just like whole.
Right. But I knew when it was coming out, it wasn't the right word. But it's astonishing that we're actually talking about this because, it's the voice of the people. When people elect someone into office and you are no longer there, that's the reality. You need to move on. You
right.
don't get to stay in your position and say, oh, I'm not going to accept the election. That's not how it works. That's not how America works. And, people that that have voted for Donald Trump and are going to vote for that snake oil salesman again, you've got to crack a bit of reality into this. This man does not believe in America or any part of the Constitution or how we elect officials. He absolutely does not.
He doesn't. And this whole thing is kind of two parts for me. One part is if this guy could come out and tell you, I'm trying to think about this. He makes it difficult. I'm trying to think about the most outrageously ridiculous lie that he could tell that would benefit himself. Okay, here's what it is. If he came out and said, I've decided as president that there should be no other hotels in Washington other than mine because I'm the president and I said so. If he thought that he could say that and anybody would believe him or allow that, he would do it. He would do it in a hot minute. Now, we've all known this all along since are you kidding? On day one, we're going to argue about photographs of the crowd at the inauguration?
Day one.
Was that afternoon of the inauguration?
It wasn't even 24 hours later.
And if anybody, had the stomach for it and watched the inaugural parade, it was an embarrassment. I mean, that was not a presidential scale inaugural parade. And he wanted that to be a military parade
right
away. He wanted to go all Kim Jong-un. Now, so my point is, we knew this all the way back to then. And so when we get to this point now, and let me just diverge one more time. During the 2016 election cycle, he was asked, will you accept the results if they don't go your way? Will you accept the result of the election? And he said, well, we'll see.
Yeah, he kept saying no
it's rigged and blah, 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 because he thought, like everybody else, that he was going to lose.
Right.
And so he said, well, you know, I will if I win.
Right.
Now, that's him. That's the real guy. That's not an act. That's the real guy.
Right.
So when this happens in this cycle, it's ludicrous to not hear that and say, yeah, well, of course he's going to say that. That's nothing. But of course now he's saying it and he's president. And I have to just try not to choke a little bit every time I say that.
Right.
So now this is getting a degree of media attention that gives it a seriousness that really isn't there.
Right.
It really isn't
no,
there.
No, and I think the difference now, Gene, is that in 2016, which he's trying to run the same 2016 election again. He still thinks he's running against Hillary Clinton, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I have noticed.
But the problem with it now is that you use the word it when you ask the question, peaceful. Right. What he is doing is he is alerting his supporters and people to not make it peaceful. So they're going to do
exactly
the work for him.
That's
so he won't have to be say that it's not going to be peaceful because he's
That's
got
right.
everybody on alert.
Right.
To make it not
and he's
peaceful.
Just going to say, look at these people.
You know,
look how upset all these people are.
Right.
That
right.
the election was stolen from me.
Right. And so, you know, we all know that. I mean, I can tell you Orange County, but everybody else across the country, law enforcement is on high alert during this election. Now, granted, you don't want law enforcement at any of the polling sites ever, right? Because our history in America shows us that was not for law enforcement.
Right.
That was to intimidate specifically Black voters that were coming to vote.
Right. So
law enforcement's not going to be anywhere near those polling places. However, they are on high alert because of the President of the United States. Even here in Little Orange County, North Carolina,
right.
we have to be on high alert because of what this president is saying.
So we're going to talk a lot more about this and the very specific problems that are presented by that because people think that he's just making a speech and why are you making such a thing of it? But, you know, these things, they hit the hot buttons for a lot of these groups and they are poised and ready. And they have been here all along. They have been watched by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They've been watching and documenting and monitoring these hate groups who are clearly the biggest domestic violence threat to the American citizenry of any threat from anywhere in the world. You're more
Absolutely.
Likely to, you know, run into some random crap from these people than anything else.
Absolutely. And so that underlying message that he's sending to them to be ready, to stand, you know, stand back, but stand by. That is
right.
the message that, you know, I'm going to be calling on you. So I'm going to need you to help me.
That's right. Is that, you know, like is everybody, you know, and if there is another debate, I sure hope there isn't. I think we're going to hear the term locked and loaded. You want to make a bet on that? That can be on our debate bingo card.
Yeah, that might be a tequila shot. I'm telling you.
I think that's a double tequila. That's a double barrel tequila shot right there.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I agree.
Wow.
Well, this is getting grim. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break and I promise there'll be no drinking except for the iced tea on my desk. And I'm so happy talking to Penny Rich about elections and all things October. We might talk a little bit about football. We'll see. And, you know, keep on listening to the Weekend Water Cooler. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. I'm back with Penny Rich. the election.
Oh God, it was in bed. I couldn't get out of bed.
It was hard to get out of bed that day. And all I could think was, this is going to be a happy story. Watch this. This is going to be the worst 4 years, I thought. Oh my God, the worst 4 years. I can't imagine how bad it's going to be. And the fact is that on inauguration day, my daughter-in-law found out she was pregnant. And my first grandchild was born September of 2017. And for the most part, except for watching politics, which I do feverishly, it's been a pretty great time, a lot of it. I mean, there's been a lot of pain and suffering to watch, unfortunately, especially this year. But it's really valuable to notice with all your heart the really good things, the three steps forward sometimes that happen when you get set back two steps. And, you know, we know the expression in the civil rights movement is the struggle continues. That's never been a more apt phrase, I think, than this year. This year has been a real struggle, and America has, well, the world in many ways has been dealing with extreme examples, irrefutable examples of police brutality against African Americans, of structural racism and plain view injustice that must be corrected if we're going to continue as a free society as we want to. And we've been doing this in parallel with this disastrous administration management of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from the first thing, some real good is going to come from that struggle. There are so many people on board, it's impossible to describe the coalition of people who are on board when you have Mitt Romney walking in the streets of Washington in a Black Lives Matter protest saying, well, duh, Black Lives Matter.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that Mitt Romney gave up so much or anything to do that. I'm saying that's a clear indication in my mind of how mainstream that idea is now. That's not a radical thing that he did that.
Right. Actually. No, absolutely. But you know, once again, if we go back to what the president is spewing out of his mouth, and, you know, he's even got Bill Barr telling us that the Black Lives Matter movement is a terrorist organization.
Right.
But not claiming that white supremacy is. So, you know, but I think you're right. I think everybody has been woken up to, like, here's what's really going on. And COVID really did help it. I hate to say this because, you know, COVID's such a horrible, horrible virus.
Right.
But we immediately recognized in Orange County the disproportionate amount of Black and Latino people that were that were getting the virus because they were on the front line. They couldn't stay home in their nice home and isolate. They were on the front line. And so, you know, once we started collecting that data, it was no surprise at all that the structural racism that has been put in place and has been in place for hundreds of years just showed its face during COVID. And, you know, we, you and I, because we pay attention so much, we've been well aware of this. But suddenly the data started showing up and people were like, oh, now I understand, you know, now I get it. But, you know, we've got so much work to do. Structural racism, you start talking about it, there are still white people that when you say structural racism, like, you know, I brought that resolution forward to decriminalize marijuana. I mean, people did not, there were people that didn't understand why it is so important to decriminalize marijuana, because that is a structural racism. That is a perfect example of a policy that is put in place to keep Black young men down. It is a perfect example. And that passed the Orange County Commissioner 6-1. You know, I'm surprised that it wasn't unanimous, but I think that the problem with it not being unanimous is because that people just don't understand what structural racism is and how it been put in place. You know, right. We could talk about this for weeks on end. But since George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, I've been looking at different policies, not only in Orange County, but, you know, regionally, what we have in place, also statewide, to see if there's anything we can get some budge on. You know, maybe if we start talking about it, maybe if we send resolutions to the governor, maybe if we send resolutions to the other 99 counties, we can make people wake up to this. So, you know, that decriminalization of marijuana was one of them. I'm coming up next week with the Hyde Amendment to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. It's absolutely a structural racism again. And this is for low-income women, African-American women, women of color, and young women. And it was specifically put in place to hurt these women.
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I've been watching this discussion about, you know, with the SCOTUS nominee, Amy Barrett, and her tribe.
Oh, my.
It's really something to see her family. Wow. So the abortion issue has all along been, in my opinion, I'm just going to go sail right out there on this limb. Please don't let me be there by myself completely. In my mind has always been about white people controlling poor black people.
It absolutely is.
And nobody who grew up in suburban Connecticut as I did would imagine, I never would imagine that if I found myself accidentally pregnant, that I wouldn't have the choice about what to do about it. Not because of what the law is, but because, you know, no politician is going to be in my life in that way.
Right.
My family had, you know, the resources that I had a regular doctor and, you know, we would have, I never thought about it, Penny. I mean, I also, I have to be honest, I was sexually active in high school and I certainly had a thought in my head about what happens if I get pregnant. And my thought was, if I get pregnant, that means I'm going to have a baby. Doesn't mean anything else. And this was after I started high school in 1972. So for the most part, this was when abortion was legal.
Right.
I've felt that way all along, although I have to admit that if I were ever raped, I don't know, because I just don't know how I would have felt about it.
Right. And I think these are really good points, but I want to just go back to your point about control.
Right.
You know, and now that we're hearing this now, it's just frightening because this is also about men controlling women, right? They still
exactly.
want to own women. And
right.
the only way to own them is to control their bodies. And, you know, you can go off and tell me about your religious beliefs and all that. And that's fine. If your religion tells you you should not have an abortion, then you should not have an abortion. But you shouldn't
yeah.
tell anyone else what they should be doing.
Right.
Like, that is not, you don't get to tell another woman what their choice should be with their own body. But
yeah.
this is exactly what the Hyde Amendment does, is
yep.
it stops women from becoming something else because they are forced to have children. Maybe they don't want to, maybe they do, but they are forced one way or the other to have them. And it stops them. It stops them from moving forward. Because, you know, even though we have had, you know, good men in our lives that help us take care of our children,
yep.
it is still a woman's responsibility to take care of children, period. It is.
Right.
And if you're poor, or you don't have family to support you, like you just said,
right.
just can't get to that next level. And this is what this is about. It's stunning that we're listening to this conversation. It's 2020, 2021, and we're moving backwards. I mean, it's
well, I always felt like the political argument about choice is argued the wrong way, and that the argument should be for Democrats against Republicans, if you will. Where is it in your small government philosophy that the government should be in the business of forcing a young woman to bear a child, especially the child of her rapist? How is that the government's job? And if it is, you're going to pay for it then, right?
Oh, no, of course not.
You're also going to give her a grant of $200,000 to raise that child.
No. They only care about
you're gonna,
it when it's
you're going to at least give her free health care.
No, for the rest
of her life. Because if your paternalism as a legislator goes in that direction, if you're in for a dime, in for a dollar. If you're telling her it's not her decision about whether or not she's going to bear this child, it's up to you. That means, you know, if you're taking responsibility, take it.
Take full responsibility.
Take all of it.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. You know, it's interesting that you're talking about this. We talk about paternal leave and having time after you have a child. In other countries, they actually do that. They give you, I mean,
can
my
you
friend,
imagine?
Yeah. My friend had her oldest son. She's from Canada. She had her child, her oldest son was born in Canada. I don't know if her younger son was too, but I know her older son was. And they actually, they give you money. They bring you diapers. They give you, you know, they make sure that you and that baby are taken care of. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how little money you make. They come and they take care of you. That's pro-life.
Amazing. Amazing.
I
saw this wonderful documentary that talked about this and had this couple from France, and they said, they had only recently moved there. They were only residents for a couple of years, and then they had a baby, and they were at the hospital, and they said, oh, you need to stop at the finance office on your way out. And the husband was like filled with anxiety about, oh man, I thought this was covered and all this stuff. And so they stopped at the finance office on the way out, and they wanted to know how they could schedule for an au pair to come and help them with the household, with doing laundry, with helping with the baby, getting groceries. Would they need cab fare for a ride home? And how much stipend did they need?
Yeah.
To just take care of themselves for a few months.
Yeah, because both of them get time off, right?
Yeah, and they were like, "No, we're not asking you for money. We're asking you how much we need to give you."
Right.
And they couldn't wrap their heads around it.
This is pro-life. This is what you do to protect a life. You have
exactly.
a newborn baby.
Exactly.
You're protecting that baby, and you're protecting those two parents who just woke up to the reality that, oh my God, I'm responsible for another human being.
And now we're going to take a break again. And when we come back, Penny's going to tell us how she would arrange for all that to happen with a magic wand. I'm about to give her a magic wand right over the computer. And she's going to tell me how all that works, because I think we all want that. The truth is, we all want that, right? We all want that. We all want to have that dream come true. And I'd like to not have to move to another country to get it, but I think it's worth considering that we may be in a position in just a few weeks to start thinking about the gigantic changes that we could make in our society that could make that happen. So Penny Rich is going to scope all that out for us in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back with Penny Rich. Now, here's what we're talking about. We were just talking about restructuring our whole society. I at one time at least played a lot of golf. I haven't played at all this year, which really makes me mad. But at one time I played a lot of golf, and I played generally with my husband and his friends from work and whatnot. Okay, so we go out on the golf course, and you know, I got to, you know, humble brag, I got to be pretty good. I would win between Rick and me. I would come home with a lower score as often as not. Not by a lot, but you know, so we're about equally matched, right? So while we're playing with the guys, one of Rick's friends, after a few holes, you know, and they could see that I could hit the ball and I could get it on the green and I could sometimes get it to fall into the little cup, you know, he said to me, you know, if you're going to play this good, you should come back here and play from the white tees, the men's tees. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. If you'll give me the salary that I've been due for all these years, then I'll come back and play at your tees. In the meantime, I'll just take the forward tee because it's like the only place on the planet where I get an actual advantage.
Yeah, I like that. It'll come
back. So, you know, you guys go back and, you know, restructure how women are paid, and I'll consider whether or not it's fair that I get 50 yards ahead of you on a golf course.
Really?
I paid the same greens fee, by the way. And if you want to come up here and play from this tee, there's nothing stopping you.
That's right. Sounds like a little bit of an ego problem there, right? I mean, come on.
Do you think so?
Oh,
do you
wow. think
men wow. on a golf course? Are you out of your
with
mind?
With egos? Nah.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. And that guy's name was Donald J. Trump. No. I would never play golf with
Donald
Trump.
Oh, God.
The you don't biggest even want to be cheater closer. On a golf course ever. Ever.
Horrible.
You know, he's that guy who's on the sand trap on the other side of the green, and you can only like see the top of his head, and he swings the club and then throws the ball
picks
out
the ball
of the trap
and it, yeah.
says that he hit it. He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's totally that guy. And then he drives his golf cart right over the green and probably putts it from the cart and says, well, I own the course, so bite me.
So, I could do whatever I want.
What's it to you? I own the course.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
That's how he's running the government, though, right?
So do they have golf courses in prison? Do federal prisons have golf courses? I don't think they do, Penny.
No, I don't think so. There might be some basket weaving, though. I don't know.
You don't want to give those guys sticks.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason why he needs to stay in office is so he doesn't get hauled away to jail.
Yeah, now listen. You just referenced basket weaving, and I just want to give a shout out to Bethany Cheney.
Oh, my God. She is doing some amazing work.
Retired from the Board of Aldermen back when it was aldermen. And has turned into a basket weaver. And oh my God.
Well, she's actually been doing that for years. I went to the jazz festival on Moorheads when we were allowed to go outside and hear live music. And she was sitting on her blanket.
Remember that?
I know. It was a couple of years ago. She was sitting on her blanket making a basket. And I went over and sat with her for a bit and visited, and I was just amazed. She just, you know, she was just going at it. I know you like to dabble in your art, and I also
do
art, and I create with my hands. I can't sit still. I've got to constantly be knitting or crocheting or you know, I quilt a little bit. But it was, she's been doing it for a while, and she's just getting better and better. I mean,
well, I was going to say, if practice makes perfect, then it obviously shows.
Yeah.
I mean,
she did
wow.
Yeah.
Really epic stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of Carborough art.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Libba Cotton mural. What a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah. And I think it was completed today. I got to visit with the artist, Scott Newbeck, yesterday. And he said it was going to be done by Thursday. And all I saw at the time I took the photo was the actual face of the portrait, not like the guitar or any of that. That was not complete. And we got to visit a little bit. And he said, yeah, I'll be done by Thursday. And I was like, wow, really? And I think he's done today. I mean, he might have to do a little bit more touch up on Thursday, but the progress that I saw today looks like it is done. Yeah, I mean, I got to visit with him and it was really a lot of fun to talk with him because I just, you know, me, Gene, I just went up to him and started talking. I said, you know, hey, how are you? Can I take your photo? And he's like, well, yeah, thanks for asking. And he didn't know who I was. I had my,
mask on,
across my face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so he didn't know who it was. And I took the bandana down. I said, well, it's Penny. And he's like, Penny, what's your last name? I was like, Penny Rich. And he's like, oh, the Penny Rich. And I'm like,
I guess Penny Rich.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not the other one.
No, the Penny Rich. And so we visited for a bit and we talked about, we did talk a little bit about politics. We talked about the mural itself and how that came about. And you know, it was a fun, good conversation. And at the end, we both thanked each other for just taking that, you know, again, that 5-7 minutes of you know, that kindness and just enjoying a conversation really meant a lot. And then when I called him out on Facebook later on and, tagged him, he did send a message and was like, yeah, thank you. And I was like, yeah, my pleasure. It was just so much fun to learn about how he was doing this portrait. And everybody should go see it. It's Merritt Mill Road. It's 111 North Merritt Mill. So the northern side of Franklin Street, closer to Rosemary, it is, you can't miss it because there's a parking lot in front of it. So you'll, as soon as you get closer to that building, you'll be able to see it. And
what building is that on the back of? I should know this, but I don't.
You know, it has a blue warning on the front of it. Oh goodness. I don't know what the building is, but it's on the Carborough Chapel Hill line. It's right Okay. It's right there.
It's right at the line where the car wash is. And
No. You got to come in a little bit more. You got to come in, go a little, it's not by the car wash. You got to come in another, where Merritt Mill actually follows around the other way.
Oh, it goes, and that goes away from the car wash.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I got
gotcha.
You.
Yeah.
I got gotcha.
You.
Yeah, well, so it goes down toward 501 and all that. When you go down past
No, it goes
school
from
central office.
It's near Rosemary Street.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Let me make sure I'm giving you, the joy of doing this at home is that
yes.
you get to,
so you, so
yeah.
You're able to look this up.
Yeah, if my internet works, that would be great too, because we're challenged here in North Carolina with internet service. So let me just get that. I want to make sure I'm giving you the exact address, and I think I am. It's 111 North Merritt Mill Road. And it's, so Merritt Mill, actually, when you cross over and you go straight, you come off of it, you're like at Crook's Corner. You continue to go straight towards Rosemary Street. That's where it
okay.
is.
Okay. I got yeah. you. Oh, I got you.
You know what
All
I'm
right.
saying now, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. But I don't know what that building is. It's interesting. I shouldn't.
I just think that I was stricken when I saw it. I just couldn't believe how beautiful that was. And it was so interesting about her playing, playing a right-handed guitar upside down. And, I don't know if you saw, I can't think of, I'm having a senior moment. I can't think of the name of the actor who was on The Tonight Show and played that song, Freight Train. Did you see this? I did not, no. Well, I can't think of who he was, but he was on The Tonight Show. This is probably a year ago or more. And he said, I learned about this song and he says, I knew all about it. And then I heard it and so I wanted to play it. And then I don't know if he got the family's permission or what, but he added another verse to it. And it was Libba Cotton's song. And he's talking about Libba Cotton and who she was and how she is revered in Carrboro, which is true.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't know how, but he just arbitrarily discovered this. And, put it on The Tonight Show. So I'll tweet something. I'll tweet that clip of that out on Twitter after we talk and everybody can see that. But and I think that combined with this mural is just a great thing. When I saw the story on Facebook about the mural being so close to completion, I tagged The Tonight Show in sharing that on Facebook. So it'd be great if they would comment about it. I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and she wrote Freight Train when she was really young. I mean,
yeah,
I think she wrote it when she was like 11 or 12, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's what he said. He said, she was, could barely read or write, but was writing songs. And this is like one of the first songs she wrote.
Yeah.
So
and I'm looking for the building, the name of the building. And honestly, it's not coming up for me. It just says 111 North Merritt Mill Road.
It's going to be the Libba Cotton mural building.
That's absolutely
that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's what it's going to be. Well, listen, we're going to take one more quick break and we'll be back with Orange County Chair Penny Rich, outgoing chair who promises a peaceful transition of power. we'll be right back. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back with the very peaceful and transitional Penny Rich. And you've assured us that we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. Thank you for that assurance. I will just tell you that I watched the number of minutes of the confirmation hearings of Amy Coney Barrett that I could stand, which wasn't very long, having almost nothing to do with her exactly. But each... I'm honestly not sure why we even go through this exercise anymore. I think if somebody asked her, is it against the law to kill somebody? She might sit back and say, well, there could be a murder case that comes before me. So I just don't know if I can say anything about that. So if that's going to be how it is in confirmation hearings, I'm not sure what function they are serving anymore.
Right. I agree.
I in watching all of that, And in thinking, as I do, about public service and what public service means to me, just as a citizen doing volunteer things. And, you know, I ran for office, I wasn't elected, but, you know, I would have been, I think, a faithful public servant. I would be honored by that title. I know that you are. And someone else who comes to my mind this week, we're recording on Wednesday, the 14th, and we've just learned of the passing of Pastor Robert Seymour. And Reverend Seymour was very much part of the civil rights movement with his very best friend, Dean Smith, for so many years, through the 60s, through the 70s, through yesterday, you know, through yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's just part of Robert Seymour, a beautiful individual, a loving individual who looked at the world through the lens, I think, of how can I help?
Right.
You know, not what's in it for me. How can I help? That is such a dramatic change from the way that our country in its political discussion has been for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I think it's so valuable to reflect on a life like this, like we did, by the way, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, to say, you know, this is a life, this is a champion's life. This is what it means when an individual person takes issues and their capabilities and puts them up on their back and marches along as far as they can go, and then does their best to bring other people along, knowing that at some point they have to pass that torch so that that struggle can continue.
That's right.
And that's what, you know, saying that the struggle continues is not saying we'll never win, we'll never be done with this. It's a way of saying, you don't win. You're never done with this. This isn't a win-lose deal.
Right.
This is about always making it better and pushing forward and bringing other people with you to every extent humanly possible. And I can think of no one that I've ever personally met or otherwise, really. I mean, who was more the embodiment of that than Robert Seymour.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because we're pulling together information to create a resolution for him on October 20th. And there's just so much. So not only was he a pastor of Binkley Baptist Church for 30 years, and you already mentioned very, very good friends with Dean Smith and the Smith family overall, which, you know, they broke barriers right from the very beginning. You know, Dean Smith made black and white basketball players share rooms, which was unheard of at the beginning.
Right.
You know, you just didn't do that. But, you know, Robert Seymour, even when he was done and retired, and let's not leave out Pearl, too, because his wife was really a giant as well. The both of them, and that's why we named the Seymour Center after them in Orange County when they were both still alive. So it wasn't a policy of ours to name anything after people that were alive. And he was very humbled by it. He didn't want it, just like Dean Smith didn't want the Smith Center named after
him. Right.
They were like, no, don't do that. But we did. And, you know, and so many things that he did, but I think people forget he's a champion of affordable housing. He really was.
Right.
He brought Habitat for Humanity to Orange County.
Yep.
And that wasn't here. He created that here in Orange County. So he knew what it meant to make sure that everybody was housed. He knew what it meant to, you know, we're talking about kindness and you know, passing that kindness on. He knew what that meant as a public servant. And we have lost a little bit of that. And right here in Orange County, we've lost that as well, which is unfortunate. Because we don't respect kindness. And I think that does come down from our federal government right now. But, you know, I have a very low tolerance for hate, and I will call hate out. And I'm you know, if people don't like that I do that, well, I'm sorry. I have really a very, like I said, small and low tolerance for that.
Right.
That doesn't fit into your agenda. I'm sorry about that. That's just the way it is. But Robert Seymour, Reverend Seymour, people like to call him Bob. just was, you know, an example of a life well lived, you know, with meaning and purpose. He just, you know, there's nothing bad you can say about this man. We will be honored to pass this resolution on October 20th at our next meeting. And we hope that everybody will join us in sending well wishes to his family and, you know, circle them with love now, because he circled us all with love. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Penny Rich, thank you. Thank you so much for that. We're going to make that our last word. And we're going to be back next week, and Penny and I are going to chew on all the political stuff that we love to chew on, all in good faith, of course. And we'll be back next week. Everybody go off and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, be safe. Thanks, Gene.
Yeah, thank you.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.